Valley Silk. Man, that was tight, man. I had to do a little head bob and a little dancing in the studio. How are you doing today, live in London?
Oh, it's great to be on, Sharon. Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, man, I am still standing and sassy and looking good.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
well, thank you so much for your guys' support.
Oh, yeah.
That track sounded great. I haven't heard that track for a few years.
So oh, nice man, that was tight. Ollie, I'm just so happy to have your time, and it's been a few years since, you know, we had the spotlight on you. And when I heard you had a new project coming and everything, and I went ahead and told the people, I said, well, you just go on and send it, because I don't even need to ask no questions. You just go on and send it right now, because, you know, we've been a fan of yours at WFSK for since the beginning.
I know you have. Yeah. I know. I used to see your station pop up in my in my inbox. My radio guy. I've had the same radio guy for 15 years.
Oh yeah.
And I was always like, these guys are on it.
Yeah. Oh, no question about it. Well, it's, you know, if the quality wasn't there, it would be much more difficult. But because, you know, you are at that level with your quality and your work, it's hard not to support it and feel good about it. Now,
That's so sweet.
Oh, sure. Definitely. Now, let me see. What time is it where you are?
Right now, it's 6:30 in the evening.
Oh, wow. Well, I will say that. How is it in London right now? Are you all in lock-in, or you got mask on? What's it like for you there?
We've got we've obviously been locked down like all you folks have. Mm-hmm. We're into week 12, I think, of lockdown. Mm-hmm. And some restrictions have been lifted this week.
Okay.
My eldest daughter has just gone back to school, which is great. She's really, really happy about that.
Okay.
So she got to go back to school on Monday.
Okay.
So that's kind of returned our family to a bit of a routine that we were craving, I think.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I've seen my dad a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
In the recent couple of weeks. So things are just relaxing off a little bit, but we're still being careful.
Excellent. So how have you, you put out a project like this one, Six is the name of it, for those that are Ollie Silk fans. How have you maintained your, musical skills and cool at, with stuff the way it is right now?
It's been a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a challenge because, obviously, as you know, all of us guys, we thrive on live shows.
Mm-hmm.
We love to play out live. We love the interaction with the crowds and the audiences, and that's kind of gone, and it's been gone for a while. So it's really starting to hurt a little bit. I've been keeping myself very busy in the studio. I guess I'm lucky that I've got that string to my bow, and I do a lot of production work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on a couple of other albums for other artists at the moment,
mm-hmm.
which are really exciting. And again, Sharon, I'm gonna send some stuff your way because you're gonna love this stuff that we're working
okay.
on right now.
Now that's what's up, y'all. Okay.
Yeah. It's been difficult, but I've adapted, and I know a lot of my buddies over here have adapted to it.
Mm-hmm.
We're just trying to do more production. All of a sudden the record industry, the recording industry is really mm-hmm. important again, whereas it kind of taken a backseat to the live, arena for
mm-hmm.
a while. So I think everybody's making music again
yeah.
and creating tracks again, which is nice to see.
Well, and take it from me, our station is a reporting station, and I am here to tell you that everybody and their brother and all their cousins are doing music right now, okay? And it is coming in like a rainstorm over your house right now. It's like, oh, my God. And, so I'm clearly people that are inclined musically in one way or another are on it. And, you know, some is okay, and some of it is excellent. So, now, when did you start on this project? Was it last year?
Yeah, I guess it was. I guess it was the start of last year. So, right, maybe January 19. I already had a couple of songs that I had written for the last project, which never made it, which I finished arranging, finished writing, and then they made it on. But as for the rest of it, yeah, it was been written over the last 15 months or 14 months or so.
Okay. Now, let me remind the audience you're listening to WFSK Jazzy 88's Artist of the Week. This is our weekly feature that we spend time with the artists, listen to the music, we give away some music, we have some fun, and, you know, catch up with some of your favorites. And in some instances, in the emerging artist category, we're introducing the stars of the future. Now, here's where Ollie Silk enters into this. The first time he was Artist of the Week was 2006.
Wow. Now you make me feel old.
Okay, Jared. No, I'm just, okay. Here's my point. In 2006, you were emerging. And I said, I felt good about this dude. Y'all got to watch him. You know, the people used to question me at first and say, I don't know who that is. I said, just trust me. You know, you all know, I'm telling you. So because, and it was so important to introduce a lot of, you know, artists and artistry. It was so important to the lasting ness of this music had to go on. It just couldn't drop off and die. And, you know, people needed to become familiar with, so here you come out in 06 with So Many Ways, looking like a baby on that album cover. And you look like you just woke up and mussed up your hair, and you look like just a were you a teenager or something in 06, man?
I was 27.
Wow. Well, you're still a baby.
I think they had, they did a good job with it. It was a very good photographer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, from there, that is where we got the connection, and that was his first time in the spotlight. And it's been a few years since he's been back in the WFSK spotlight. But, you know, this sixth project is his brand new release, and we're just tickled to death to have Ollie Silk on the line. And he has so many talents and skills, and six albums, and you all be sure to check him out. Go to his website, check him out, and all his stuff. Now, Ollie, you said you have a daughter that is going to be going back to school.
That's correct. Yeah, my oldest daughter, she's 5 years old, so she's in year R, reception year. I don't know what you have over there for that.
Yeah.
Like it's before year one. So she's really happy about that. And I have a little boy as well who's 2.5 years old, so he's at home.
Do either one of them know what daddy does? You know, he's always playing with instruments and stuff. Do they know?
Yeah, they do. They're really starting to get to know, because they see the albums. I have lots of copies of albums floating around, so they like to look at those. They like to listen to daddy's music in the car. Mm-hmm. Well, my son does. My daughter's not so hot on it, but my son really likes it. They come in and play the keyboards. My son has a drum set, so he bashes away on the drums. Yeah, it's cute. It's really cute. I love it.
Well, maybe they could be your backup band.
That would be fine if they don't have a tantrum in there.
That's true. That is true. That's the truth. Now
I have enough problem with adult musicians having tantrums.
Oh, no kidding. No kidding. So, and in the weeks and months since the pandemic and all the other issues that we are going through globally, Do you stay in touch with the folks in the U.S. and other artists here? And I heard you say you've been doing some stuff, you know, in the studio for others. Do your connections back here, are they as strong as they are in London?
Oh, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. I think my connections in the States in a lot of ways are mm-hmm. much stronger than my London mm-hmm. connections. But it's different. You know, my smooth jazz connections in the States are much stronger because, you know, it's the home of smooth jazz. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's everything to me. And you know, I'm keeping my fingers crossed every day that we're gonna get our business back on track and get our industry back on track mm-hmm. and have many, many more years of good festivals and radio and great records too. So yeah, I'm keeping in touch, and I'm keeping in touch with my record label and my radio guy Jeff and just yeah, making sure everyone's cool. And you know, like we just said, I'm seeing a lot of creativity, and this mm-hmm. is a great time for creativity because people are at home. Musicians want to work with each other. Maybe yeah. you know, you can rope in some guys mm-hmm. that wouldn't usually be available to do right. some things for you. So that's cool.
Well, let me ask then about your growing up in London. Were you in music classes, or somebody in your family musically inclined?
Yeah, no one played any instruments in my family. Hmm. My education was really from my elder brother, my parents as well. They mm-hmm. just love great music. And my eldest brother, he was working in a record store from the age of 13. I don't think you can do that now, but back then you could do that. You could work at 13. Mm-hmm. I think there's laws against that now, but mm-hmm. You know, he worked in there, and he was responsible. It was like a jazz, funk, and soul record mm-hmm. store. So, you know, he used to come home. He was so into that music, so he used to come home with all the latest imports from the States, mm-hmm. stuff that we really could get much over here, from like 79 to 83, and I was only a kid then. So, yeah, I grew up with this musical foundation of great jazz, funk, and soul music. And that's really what rubbed off on my playing, I think, right from day one. I just had that feel for the yeah. music.
Yeah. So who do you feel like you gravitated toward, you know, when you say the funk and the soul, you know, sound? Who
do I think my, you know, for keyboards, that George Duke was a big one for me.
Ooh, yeah, love him.
Maybe slightly later on at the start, because my brother wasn't, he was more into, let's say, he was into instrumental stuff, but he mm-hmm. was also very, very much into Jeffrey Osborne, Freddie mm-hmm. Jackson, mm-hmm. You know, Tina Marie, Melbourne Moore, Phyllis Hyman, all the big singers at the mm-hmm. time, mm-hmm. Phil Perry and stuff. So right back then, it was really like the Crusaders, Randy Crawford, those guys, you know, and Joe Sample, of course, were a big influence on me. And then slightly later, it was Jeff Lorber, mm-hmm. George Duke, even guys who are still massive today. Alex mm-hmm. Bunyan was a big influence on me in the late 80s. And, you know, there's just so many.
Yeah, it really was. And over that time frame that you kind of talked about, things evolved. In terms of, like, smooth jazz came on the scene in the 80s, and, you know, and then it went to sleep. It went to... I mean, it was just kind of boring. And, you know, it was extracted a lot of the funk, the greasiness, the hot sauciness of it was extracted out. And not exposed to the wider audiences. And so knowing that was the case, your brother was helpful to you finding out what some of the other music was that wasn't so filtered out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, really, really quite rare stuff at the time, you know. And also... you know, imports from Japan, Japanese jazz fusion stuff, mm-hmm. you know, Michael Brecker all over it, and, you know, the more jazzy stuff too. But also, like, Pieces of a Dream, who were huge then, Grover, obviously. Mm-hmm. Richard Elliott, even, his first couple of albums, mid-80s, you know, like, you're so right. Within about 7 or 8 years from then, things had changed a lot, and things had maybe homogenized slightly, or that they'd merged, you know, to smooth jazz as we then knew it in the 90s, which was a mix of some jazz and funk, but also sort of some new age stuff in there. Yeah. You know, it was a bit of a melting pot. Now, I'm not criticizing it for that, but it just changed. It changed the way the music was.
Yeah.
And like you say, the rawness of the funk, the jazz funk, had kind of gone away.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, like
Ronnie Laws is a great example. The two saxophone players for me, Ronnie Laws and George Howard, like 77 to 85.
Yes.
You know, but then that kind of got lost after that a little bit.
Lord. And I mean, you know, and this is not criticism. This is just facts. And anybody who's paying any attention or has paid any attention, and maybe I'm OCD enough about this music that I have paid attention, because I see, I'm in the business. I see the way things are trending and, you know, what's there today and gone tomorrow. And, you know, I mean, that's, you know, how I got in this position I'm in. It wasn't through not paying attention. And the task for WFSK to me was to not to let it fall by the wayside and not to let it be dictated by whatever they're doing and somewhere. No, we're gonna play this. I mean, you know, so a lot of stations at first, they didn't want to, you know, wouldn't open a door to a lot of stuff, you know. They wouldn't give. A lot of the black artists used to tell me when I got here that they couldn't get any airplay with most of them. And, you know.
Yeah.
So that struggle was, and it was real. And, you know, I'm not complaining. I'm just telling, because people don't know. They always wonder why this is not like this and that is like, because there's always a story. There's always a backstory.
Sure.
So,
there is.
Yeah.
You know, like we say, you know, every period for smooth jazz has been different.
Yeah.
Things have evolved and changed.
Yeah.
You know, that's not to say that there wasn't a lot of great music in the 90s, because there was a lot of great music in the 90s, but the 90s was the time when smooth jazz rose to the top, and it really was at the top of everybody's, you know, everybody's listening habits, and the radio was huge. So, you know, that comes at a price, I guess you would say.
It did.
The mass commercialization of something like smooth jazz did come at a price.
Yeah.
And I guess we felt that a decade later in the mid 2000s when it went back to where it came from a little bit, you know?
Yeah. And it's been, you know, for a radio station like this one, you know, we just couldn't float everywhere the wind blew. I mean, you know, come on. We have a steady core of people who have been listening here for years. And, you know, sometimes the station leaned more to R&B, sometimes it leaned more to this or that or whatever. And I had to, in my head, you know, say, there's a lot of people in this town that like such and such. And, you know, we all ended up at the same events all the time. And you look around, you're like, oh, I didn't know you liked it. Yeah. And so, you know that there's that core people. And to this day, that same group, and they know who they are because they're listening right now. You know, when we have events or fundraisers or whatever, that's who is, you know, in attendance, or who is supporting you from here in this area. You know, we have a lot of people that listen online to WFSKFM.org because they like the sound here. It's different. And, you know, so that having that distinction, I think it's, you know, it's, I feel good about it. At first, I used to say, oh, Lord, they going to fire me. oh, Lord, somebody going to get mad and blah, blah, blah. And I just said, you know, Lord, strengthen me. And I just, I'm plowing ahead. And, you know, forging relationships. And some of you all have just been like family. I mean, I just love everybody. Because, you know, you were doing 06. new out the shoot, all a lot of the folks that were new out of the shoot, Nicholas Cole, Vincent Angala, who's on your album. I mean, the list is massive of people who were brand new at one point. And this is who y'all need to watch for. And all of you all have just been so incredible. So I thank you for sticking and staying on what it is you do so well. Now, let me take you back to your album 6. There's a reason for that title.
Yep.
It is.
It is number 6. You know, I had a couple of... it's actually my 8th CD, but it's my 6th solo CD because I was in a group. I was in a duo.
Yeah.
And we had a couple of records out, the turn of the century, which really built my following over here in the UK and Europe and stuff, but never really broke the States.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got signed to the label that I'm with now, Trippin' in Rhythm Records, and I've been with them ever since 2005.
Wow.
And this is my 6th CD, and I'm very proud of it. I'm enjoying listening to it, and that's rare because usually for some of the previous albums, I've had to put that to bed for a long time because I've listened to it too much and I've done with it. But actually, you know, for some reason with this one, I'm going back to it and already, and it's nice. I'm enjoying it.
Well, who produced it, who wrote it, and who's on it?
Well, I did everything. All the production is me, all the mixing is me, and everything, all the arranging and writing is me.
Mm-hmm.
Who is on it? Well, I've got some great cats on this. Well, obviously we mentioned Vincent Angala, who is on, who did a really top job with the track New Bounce, which is the single that's out at radio, as you guys know, and you've been championing mm-hmm. that. Thank you very much for that. We've got Darren Rahn, who's a fantastic sax player mm-hmm. as well. He's making an appearance. Kelly Minucci's making an appearance. Mm-hmm. Someone I met last year for the first time. Mm-hmm. Been a big fan of special effects for many years. And a big fan of his guitar playing. But we met and we played together in Mallorca, Spain last year. And I found him to be a very, very affable, very, very relaxed guy. Mm-hmm. Really enjoyed his company. So I asked him if he would lend his guitar playing to a song. So mm-hmm. he did. Who else do we have on there? Let me think. Oh, we have Jeff Kashua, who's one of my mm-hmm. favorite sax and flute players.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you guys have played some of Jeff's
music
in the
past. Oh, of course, of course. Oh, everybody you named, that they're all heavy hitters. Definitely.
And one of my favorite cameos, which you'll hear when you buy the album, not if, when you buy the album, you'll hear this. I got Gerald Albright to play bass on a track.
That's real personal.
Gerald Albright was a bass player.
Man, that Big Papa. Ooh, love that man. I'm, you know, Gerald Albright. He is just he's the man. He's like in his own way. You know, like when people say Grover, you know, you're like, oh Lord. I feel the same way when you say George Duke and when you say Gerald Albright. It's like, oh Lord.
Yeah.
You know, you just have that. You know, you just have got that.
He's there with Kirk and the two of them together.
Oh, yeah.
Really are the granddaddies of.
Yeah.
I hope they don't mind me saying that, but the granddaddies of the smooth jazz saxophone
sound.
You know.
They probably are all granddaddies anyway, so they. I know Kirk is, but Gerald goes back further than Kirk. And,
yes.
You know, so now let me ask, of all the people you've toured and done things with over these years, Ollie, who do you long to be on the stage with?
Oh, that's a tough question. I think some of my greatest memories from shows are playing with, let me think, right, Chuck Loeb is one, who is sadly no longer with us, but... But playing with Chuck was a great musical education for me. I was very, very nervous because I'd been a fan of his for so many years. But I ended up playing in his band over here in the UK a few times. And actually in the Middle East, we did a small tour in the Middle East, which was nice.
Yeah.
So that was great. I've got to say, Peter White is someone I've been playing. He gave me my first gig, really, as a keyboard player back in 2006.
Yeah.
So I've been playing in his band for 14 years now, and he's a great guy. He's a good friend.
Yeah.
You know, I've lived with him for half a year in LA when I was younger, and you know, just so I think those two really stick out for me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that sounds good to me. I'm there. Well, whenever that time comes, you know. Have you?
I could talk for 2 hours. About
I know. I know. Well, let me ask. In the final moment or so here, is your management or label or anything trying to make plans for the future, or in terms of when you'll be back, and or maybe in the U.S. or doing smaller venues or something? Have they said anything to you about that yet?
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to figure that out at the moment. I had a tour in that was scheduled for July, and that all got cancelled, which is very sad.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand, you know, we're all going through the same thing. I was meant to be performing in quite a few states in July, so that's gone. The next thing I'm looking forward to, if it happens, is I'm going to be in Richmond, Virginia, in November, and now I can't remember the name of the festival offhand. It's going to be in mid-November, but I'll get back to you and I'll let you know.
Okay.
And I'll let your listeners know what that one's called. So we have a few things in November. Whether that's going to happen, I really hope so. I mean, gosh, that's a long way away, November.
Okay.
Surely we can get it figured out by then.
Well, if people just put their mask on and distance, I mean, you know, everybody act like they don't want this thing to end. Come on, y'all, wash your hands. I mean, you know, how much, I mean, come on, seriously now.
We want the groove back.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to go and see music. It's
so
sad that that's people's passion, you know?
Yeah, well, I just want grown-ups to quit acting like children. I'm like, go to your room. Go lay down. I mean, you know, we want to get this over with, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
Anyway, having said
that.
Yeah, definitely. To have y'all back out on the road and stuff again. Now, your album is available where?
The album is available at all the good online retailers.
Uh-huh.
I think Amazon has some physical copies, but because of the virus, the physical copy distribution has been very limited.
Okay.
So it's not in any stores, which it usually does go to the stores, but the stores said no, we can't take it right now.
Okay.
So that'll be delayed. It will go into stores, but it'll be delayed maybe until September.
Okay.
But yeah, you can go check it out right now, iTunes, Spotify, all the good stuff.
Excellent.
I'm sure all of your listeners at least have access to one of those things.
Okay,
please go and check it out. I know you're going to love it.
Oh, definitely. Now, it's just olliesilk.com. Is that your website?
Olliesilk.com. That'll take you to a page with a big dice on it, and the dice is the six for the front cover of the album.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you can go see my Instagram page and my Facebook page, and find out more about me.
Excellent. Well, we certainly do thank you, and look forward to checking back, you know, around with you later on. Keep an eye on, ear on your music. And, you know, of course, as always, Ollie, wish you only the very best.
Well, I wish all you guys there the very best. And once again, thank you so much for playing my songs and spreading the word to the good people that have the discerning musical taste that your listeners do.
Oh, yeah. I love them, and they love the station, honey.
They do. Really great. And next time I'm in Nashville, I'll see you guys.
You better. Oh, you know I'll be mad at you now. They're like, he was here. What you mean you didn't call me? Anyway, I'll call Jeff Lund at Dripping and Riddle. I'll say, now look at here, Jeff. Let me tell you something, honey. You better tell Ollie. I said. You might take the London Express.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh man, listen, you know. I appreciate you so much. Hope that the rest of your day goes very, very well, okay?
Thank you so much, Sharon, and thank you, WNSK, and all the guys there. I really appreciate it, and you have a great day, you guys, okay?
All right, you too. All right, bye-bye. All right,
thank
y'all.
Thank you, Sharon. Bye now.
Bye-bye. All right, that was live from London. Hey, hey. That was Ollie Silk and this week's Artist of the Week, keyboardist, producer. Just, you know, really a nice guy. He's just been that way since the beginning.